Tirpitz argued that Germany certainly could not catch Britain. Britain had the largest navy in the world. Germany was in no danger of ever catching Britain in naval production. But what Germany should do is to build a fleet that was just large enough to inflict serious damage on Britain so that Britain would not risk going to war with Germany over colonial interests because of the damage that this German fleet could inflict on the British Navy. What it obviously assumes is that there is going to be conflict between Britain and Germany. In 1898, Germany embarked upon an ambitious naval construction program. A new bill was introduced in 1900 that stepped up production schedules, all of which sounded alarm bells in Great Britain. Then in 1904-05, Britain announced its intention of building a new class of battleship. And in 1906, the first dreadnought, as it was called, was launched in Britain. Germany also quickly announced that it was going to be able to build dreadnoughts as well. This was a much bigger, faster, very well-armored ship with enormous guns. The dreadnoughts, everyone agreed, were going to make the older ships virtually obsolete. The British did not believe that Germany would be able to build dreadnoughts, at least not very quickly, but the Germans announced that they could, and indeed were intending to build dreadnoughts. The British pleaded with Germany to abandon its construction plans, indeed the King of England himself making a personal plea to the Kaiser, to no avail. Germany was determined to build dreadnoughts, and once it did, once it began this construction program, then relations between Britain and Germany deteriorated very, very rapidly. What one sees with the dreadnoughts is the first real appearance in international affairs of something that's become absolutely a staple of diplomacy and international relations, military relations in the 20th century. And that is an advance in technology, an advance in military technology threatens to undo a balance of power between states. A new weapons system, we would now say, the dreadnoughts, was being introduced, which was going to fundamentally change the balance of power between Britain and Germany on the high seas. It was as a result of all of these different factors, but particularly the naval rivalry. Britain also in this period had sought German support for the British and the Boer War. None of this the Germans would do. Britain needed Germany more than Germany needed Britain, was the view in Berlin. The upshot was that by 1904, Britain had already entered into the so-called Entente Cordiale with France, a very loose agreement in which Britain and France agreed to cooperate in colonial matters and also to deal with this new unguided missile in international affairs, the unguided missile of Imperial Germany. For Britain, this was seen, it's interesting the way this was looked at, and we'll have occasion to talk about this when we talk about the actual outbreak of the war in not our next lecture, but the one beyond. In England, the Entente Cordiale was seen as a loose agreement that bound Britain only to seek ways of cooperation with France in the international arena. In France, it was seen as a serious military commitment on the part of Britain. Needless to say, for France, this situation now, by the turn of the century, had become virtually ideal. By 1894, its military alliance with Russia and its growing financial involvement there had broken French isolation in Europe and greatly strengthened French security. This alliance with Russia gave the Third Republic a great bounce in its confidence, its sense of its position in the world. The Bismarckian system had been shattered. And then a series of crises in North Africa, especially in Morocco, had so exacerbated tensions between Germany and France but also between Germany and Britain, that it had drawn Britain and France together in this Entente Cordiale.